Good morning. Welcome to worship. If you love the Lord, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right, now we'll pray and finish the meeting.
Thank you.
Well, I've got some announcements to give to you. And the first is that tea and coffee will be served following our meeting this morning. And at 12:05, our first church on the triangle will take place. And you're invited to come along and join in the singing and the worship there. On Monday, Sally Wags, as always, will meet, and also the food bank will be open. Wednesday, 1:30, Friends Together, and again, the food bank hopefully will be open. And on Thursday, Coffee Morning, 10 till 12, and Explorers at 3:30. On Friday, we hope to have the food bank open once again. Some dates for the future. February the 15th at 7:45 is your opportunity to join the songsters, to come along to the rehearsal at quarter to eight, join in and sing, or if you just want to sit around and listen, that's no problem with that. So that's on the 15th of February. On Saturday the 16th of March at 1 o'clock will be the celebration of life service for Major Margaret Lawrence. So that's on Saturday the 16th of March at 1 o'clock. On Thursday the 22nd of February, a service at the crematorium will take place for Dennis Versey, and that's at 10:30. Coming a little bit nearer, next Sunday is the YP Annual, or the prize giving as we usually look forward to, and that's at 10:30. And our special guest is coming all the way from the road up there. Mr. David Squirrel will be coming along. So come and support the young people next Sunday. Thank you very much.
This will be an announcement. What is it on the 14th of February?
I don't know.
Now, I don't know about you, but every year I find the whole thing slightly overwhelming. So this year I'm going to run a games night so that on Valentine's Day you can have chocolates, you can have flowers, you can have a meal, Next week I shall have more of the Valentine's Day. And so we're going to start at 7:15 on Tuesday the 14th. You're going to bring everything. Games and birthday games, which is coming down first Wednesday, 14th of February, 7:15. These games and a lot more that we'll show you next.
I'm not a massive one for celebrating Valentine's Day myself. But my marital commitments mean otherwise, I suppose. It's my pleasure to welcome you here this morning as we gather together in worship. What is past, what is to come, and all of it must be viewed in the context of God's love and care for each and every one of us. We continue with our covenant theme today. And we'll be having a look at Jeremiah and Luke later on in the meeting this morning. And it's also in the Salvation Army calendar, the launch of self-denial, of the self-denial season. So we'll have a chance to start thinking about what that means and what we are going to be called to do. And we'll be doing that later on in the meeting as well. Our opening hymn, the tune of which has already been introduced to us by the band, is Before the Throne of God Above, a great hymn. And I love the tune myself. It's got a Celticness about it, which kind of resonates with my genes, I suppose. I invite you to stand as we sing and worship together. Please take your seats. And we continue thinking about the gift of Christ. We continue thinking about Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for each and every one of us. And together we sing, Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. Are you in that place this morning? Are you full of wonder at what Christ has done for you on the cross? We're so used to these ideas, aren't we? Oh, Jesus died for me. We speak in this language. The church has been using it for nearly 2,000 years. And the significance of it kind of washes away, doesn't it, a little bit? But Jesus Christ died for you. Jesus Christ died to take away your sin. Jesus Christ died to reconcile us to him and to offer us the promise of eternal life. Let us join together in singing these wonderful words. Jesus Christ, I sink upon I wonder if as John continues to play, whether we can close our eyes, bow our heads, and in the intimacy really of our own thoughts and our own emotions, bring our own praise and worship to God this morning. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we are thankful because you are our God. You're not a God that stands at a distance. You want to know each and every one of us. And when we walked away, you gave your Son. Your Son who, by his death, took away everything that separated us from you and restored that relationship between us and you, our Creator. We are a thankful people because we are your people, Lord. We worship you this morning. We praise you this morning for all that you are and for all that you have done. This morning we think of those members of our family that are not with us. Lord, we pray that you would be with them. We pray for our world, the complexities of it, Lord. We pray thy will be done and thy kingdom come. For ourselves this morning, we pray that you would open our ears, that you would soften our hearts, that you would challenge our brains. And that you would continue shaping us into the people that you want us to be. I make this prayer in and through the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We listen now to the ministry from the Songsters.
Thank you, Sanctus, for that beautiful song. That takes me back to Paul commissioning, actually. We sang that at his commissioning, and we were able to pray over the messengers of light. So that takes me back to that moment, so thank you for that. And I'm sure for many of us here as well, it's got a meaningful meaning, so thank you. Now, you can see that Paul has left the platform because he has left them in charge of today's song, which is Everybody Everywhere. I think we sang it twice, maybe three times now. It's a new one. We're just trying to get used to it. It's got lots of movements, lots of actions. Yes, it's got a very kind of, that ending thing that you do jump at the end. Do you remember that one? Yeah, and I don't think I'm wearing the right shoes, actually. But, yeah, so we're going to stand, and hopefully, yes, come on, you can help me. It's great. So hopefully you will remember when you see it. So you all need to get up. This is actually your morning exercise for the day, so you're welcome. So stand up, and let's all praise God together. Oh, lovely. The wrong outfit for today, really, haven't I? I should have got my trousers and my flat shoes too, so I could do a little jump at the end. Well, I think you did really well. You remembered it really well, so well done. So next time what I'll do, Paul, let's have to have this in the meeting. We let people know, so those who want to be more comfortable while dancing to it, you can. Is that ideal? Yeah, that's what we'll do. I know you because I can't do it.
The reason I asked Lisette to lead that one was so that I could have some practice out of sight. I just needed some individual practice before I attempt that one publicly. Yeah, but it's all good fun. I'm going to change a little bit in the printed order. And as I say, today's the launch of... the children can stay, Rosie, if that's okay, just for another 5-10 minutes or so. And you've been given some sheets, haven't you? Because we're going to watch the self-denial video right now. And you've got some sheets to gather some information. I've got the answers here, so you can check that later on. But as I said, it's our self-denial appeal. Begins today, and you'll be called upon in about a month's time to give in an act of self-denial to the international mission of the Salvation Army. Let's watch the video.
Hello, my name is Catherine Wiles. Welcome to the first of our films for this year's self-denial appeal. This year, we'll be focusing on Salvation Army officership. We'll be meeting Salvation Army officers in three different parts of the world, finding out a bit about what they do and asking them why they do it. But first, let's look at last year's appeal. Last year, we focused on children and young people. We met Josh Reeder, a student in a Salvation Army school in Kenya. We saw how the Salvation Army in Moldova is supporting Dimitri, a 14-year-old refugee who fled from Ukraine with his granddad. And we met Joyce from Pakistan, who's hoping one day to be a doctor. Thank you so much for the money you gave. Thanks to you, we raised more than £1 million last year. You gave generously and sacrificially, and your self-denial money is already making a real difference. Many of you watching this will know all about self-denial. Many of you have been giving faithfully for years, but there may be people watching who are new to the Salvation Army and who are less familiar with the self-denial appeal. So here's a reminder of what it's all about. Self-denial is an appeal to raise money for the Salvation Army's work around the world. William Booth introduced the idea over 130 years ago. It happens every year, and most Salvation Army Corps around the world take part. Being part of the Salvation Army makes us part of a global movement. Self-denial gives us a chance to pause for a moment and to think about the work that the Salvation Army is doing in other parts of the world. Self-denial is also a prompt to learn more about the Salvation Army and to support our sisters and brothers in prayer. And it's about giving money. Self-denial offers us all a challenge to go without something and give the money we've saved. Some people who are able give a week's salary, 1 week's salary on missionary service. Some of the money we give goes to our mission partners. They are Denmark and Greenland, Finland and Estonia, Ghana including Togo, Pakistan and South America East. All the rest goes to international headquarters in London. They send it to places that need it most, and it supports the mission of the Salvation Army around the world. It pays for the essential things that most of us don't think about. Things like admin and church infrastructure. Things you might not notice until they're not there. That means Salvation Army officers, staff and volunteers can get on with the vital work they are doing.
Hi, Alistair.
This is Rutherglencore, just outside of Glasgow, and it's where I work as a Salvation Army officer. This morning, we've been having our over-60s lunch. Making connections with the local community is a big part of my work here. There's a long history of Salvation Army officers doing this kind of work. From the first officers trained in East London in the 1870s and 80s to the first international pioneers of the Salvation Army's work overseas. Today, the Salvation Army is at work in 134 countries. Salvation Army officership is our focus for this year as we think about the international work of the Salvation Army.
Buenos días, niños.
For the next few weeks, we'll hear from Salvation Army officers in three very different parts of the world. In Mizoram, a state in eastern India, we'll meet Captains Anthony and Markimi. They run an adult rehabilitation centre for people who are struggling with addictions to drugs and alcohol. The centre supports 20 men on their journey to recovery. In Nuuk, in Greenland, we'll meet Captain Nathaniel, who runs the Salvation Army Corps and a social cafe with his wife Rukana. The cafe is supporting people from the homeless community in the city. The average temperature during the winter months is -5 degrees Celsius, so food and warmth provided by the Salvation Army is a godsend. In Salto, in Uruguay, we'll meet Lieutenants Jose and Kayla, who run both Salvation Army Corps in the city. They host a food distribution program for people who are struggling, and they're also making connections with young people who live in the neighbourhood. There are quite a few ways to give to Self-Denial. You can use the envelope or this year's collection box. There's a QR code that links through to salvationist.org.uk. Or if you have a standing order set up already, you can make a payment that way. Next week, we'll be going to Greenland. I'm looking forward to seeing you then.
I'm looking forward to the rest of the series. Always do. It said there at the end of the video about giving by standing order, if that's what you choose to do, please tell me before you amend your standing order. If not, it'll end up just in a normal cartridge book, which would be a shame. Yeah, really exciting, isn't it? Self-denial. This is what we're called upon to give, to support the mission and the ministry of the Salvation Army in really interesting places. In Greenland there, I understand it's going really strong. Mizoram's a really interesting place as well. And it's the International Salvation Army, it's who I am. And that's why I feel that, you know, brilliant, really exciting. Let's join together in a prayer that we've been asked, that's been shared with us to use this morning. I'll read the leader bits and I'll encourage you to join me in the congregation bits, which are printed in bold. Let us pray. Lord, at the start of the self-denial appeal, we ask you to show us something afresh during these weeks. Help us to have a deeper understanding of your will and work around the world. Reveal something new to us. We thank you for giving us the financial ability to show our support and commitment to Salvation Army projects. May the money we raise benefit and provide new opportunities to grow your church. Transform the money we give. Internationally, people have listened and responded to your call and undertake the responsibility of being Salvation Army leaders. Continue to bless their work and the impact they have in their local areas. Be with Salvation Army leaders. Amen. Amen. Simple prayers in many ways, but important prayers. Last week we introduced the song Boundless Love, and we're going to sing it with live accompaniment this week. So we're building up. And I said last week there are brass parts available for this, so we're going to be building up to using them too. I'm sure if I have any say, we will anyway. In Matthew, here's the answers. So in Sunday school, have a look at that and see how you've done and come and show me at the end of the meeting. But children, young people, now's your time to head off to Sunday school. Full marks or what? Never mind. Go and have a look at them and show me later, okay? Have a look at the answers in Sunday school, then come and show me later. And then while we sing, the offering will be taken up as well. over to you guys.
Shall we stand?
How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the sons and the daughters of God. His beloved creation, that is who we are. His Spirit is come into our lives and filled our hearts. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that Jesus should come and pay with his life at the cross. His redeemed creation, that is who we are. His Spirit is come into our lives and filled our hearts. Rescues us. How great his love, restoring us. How great his love, it's moving through our hearts to change the world. How great his love, his boundless love. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that cold hearts can melt with mercy for all who are lost. His transformed creation, that is who we are. His Spirit is come into our lives and filled our heart. How great his love, the rescues us. How great his love, restoring us. How great his love, it's moving through our hearts to change the world. How great his love, his boundless love.
Thank you, guys. Please take your seats, and we'll be using that over the next few weeks. And yeah, let's get those brass parts going. I'm itching. And I think Simon is as well. We'll listen to the ministry from the band now, and I'll come and go and take my place. There are some oldies in that selection, some that I've not sang for decades, I dare say, and I'm only 40. One. Yeah. So it's going to bring us the Bible reading.
This is Luke 22, 14 to 20 from the Message. When it was time, he sat down, all the apostles with him, and said, "You've no idea how much I have looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God." Taking the cup, he blessed it, then said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." Taking the bread, he blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat it in my memory." He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, written in my blood, blood poured out for you." Amen.
The new covenant. We continue this week with our theme of covenant. And the topic today is the gift, God's gift of Christ. And we see in Jesus Christ and in the reading that we have just heard that all the covenants of the Old Testament are fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. But before we do so, I'm going to rewind to 2 or 3 weeks ago when we looked at Jeremiah's prophecy. And and I want to say once again that this reading, this prophecy written by Jeremiah, is written against the backdrop of the people's repeated failure to uphold their side of the covenant. God is good. God is faithful. God has never broken his covenantal commitments. But Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, declares in effect that God is taking a new approach. And this is what the prophet says according to the Message paraphrase. "That's right. The time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took their hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke that covenant, even though I did my part as their master. This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God. And they will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned." And as I've stressed before, there is nothing contractual about covenant. God doesn't say, "If you do this, I'll do that." And as Jeremiah says in the reading I have just made, the time is coming when God is going to do something brand new. And this is wonderful. As I've said before, when we talked about this passage, God is taking the lion's share of the covenantal responsibilities. "I'll wipe the slate clean for them. I'll forget they ever sinned." And I think this goes against our idea of what is right and fair. But here we see the very foundation of grace and mercy. God will wipe the slate clean. God will take the lion's share of the responsibility. It also flies in the face, I believe, of what we want. We are used to contracts. We want to bring something to the table. We want to feel that we can do something to earn or deserve God's love and grace. But the reality is that covenantal love is not based on this kind of thinking. God knows that we humans can never, will never keep our side of the agreement. We break the covenant. We mess up. We fail to measure up. This is the human story. But the premise of grace is that God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. God says, I will wipe the slate clean. But when we speak of grace, we almost inevitably move towards, did I say that right, Julia? That's one of those words that often comes out French in my accent. Was that inevitably? Yeah, it always comes out French in my accent. Sorry about that. I grew up abroad. Got a foreign education. We almost inevitably move towards speaking of justice. And for us, in our minds, in the society in which we live, justice is retributive. I've done it again. Why do I write these words that I can't say? In our society, we believe that justice needs a punishment. We do believe that people should get what they deserve for their crimes. And while we know that this kind of provides the basis for the legal system as we know it, we do know that it has its limitations. We know that it often leaves victims disappointed, hurt, and angry. And if we think about it properly, neither does it sort out the problems of crime. So someone commits a crime, they get their punishment, they come back out and they do it again. And how many times do we hear people going round in that circle? It's what we have, but we recognise its limitations. In contrast to this, God's justice, which is based on his covenantal love, is restorative and seeks to heal and restore people. And that's what Jeremiah's prophecy is all about. The end game is that people would be restored to what God created them to be, his people. It's all about transformation. And we see that when God says, I'll put my law within them. It's not a set of rules to follow. I'll write it on their hearts. It's top to bottom transformation that God wants to carry out in each and every one of our lives. Richard Rohr writes this. I don't quote him very often, but I will today. Unfortunately, the most common view of God's judgment is retributive justice, which appeals to the ego, rather than restorative justice, which brings true transformation. That's what God wants to see. God wants to transform us, each. He wants to write his law on our hearts. No longer will it be a law on tables, a set of rules to follow and where we will fall short. He wants to see transformation top to bottom in every one of us. He wants to go to the very heart of who we are. And he wants to turn it around. He wants to wipe the slate clean. This is not punishment. He wants to wipe the slate clean. He wants to write his law on our hearts. There's no consequences. We're not talking about punishment. It's transformation through and through that God wants for each and every one of us. And I'm going to quote here again Saint Ignatius. And I think this represents a real challenge for each and every one of us. And this is what Saint Ignatius said. There are very few people who realize what God would make of them if they abandoned themselves into his hand and let themselves be formed by his grace. There are very few people who realize what God would make of them if they abandoned themselves into his hand and let themselves be transformed by his grace. And I just want to give you a few moments to reflect on that quote, actually. What does that mean for you? What does it mean for this core, for this church? What difference could it make? There are very few people who realize what God would make of them if they abandoned themselves into his hand and let themselves be formed by his grace. It's the business of transformation that God is in. He wants to change us radically. And it's by that we, the church, should be recognized, is by the transformation that God has wrought in our lives, that we should be recognized in the world around us. What work does God still have to do in your life? So, just yesterday I was speaking to an officer colleague, and we were talking about a core that will remain anonymous, and we were talking about a friend in common who'd been at that Salvation Army Corps in placement. He was a young cadet training to be a Salvation Army officer. You can imagine, full of the spirit, full of passion, raring to go. And as he was walking to the corps on the first day of his placement and about to open the door of the corps, someone came up to him and said, a perfect stranger, and said, "Mate, you don't want to walk in there. The people are horrible." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Luckily, that's not the experience that I see around me. And we are recognized as being kind and loving people. But I wonder if we truly abandoned ourselves to the hand of God and we allowed him to touch the parts of our lives that we don't dare allow him to touch. The parts we're too embarrassed and too ashamed to even let God have a look. I wonder what we would then be recognized for. More than kindness. More than generous, but loving with the love that God imparts on us. And I wonder then if the transformation that was in us was so radical that others would go, "Well, tell you what, I fancy a bit of that. I want to be a part of that. I want to know this God that changes these people so radically." Just an idea that I hadn't planned to develop quite so much. But in today's reading, Luke chapter 22, Jesus announces the new covenant, the renewal of the covenant that Jeremiah was looking forward to is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And there's two things that I want to draw out of that, and it is that fact that Jesus entirely and completely fulfills the Old Testament promises of God. And when God said through Jeremiah some 600-700 years before the time of Jesus Christ that he would wipe the slate clean, in the person of Jesus Christ, he has done it. When I say that Jesus Christ, that God does not want to punish us in his system of restorative justice, he does it in and through the person of Jesus Christ. And Kevin, this week I've not been able to get that song out of my head. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. The punishment that is rightly ours, Jesus bears it out of God's covenantal love. Jeremiah said that God would wipe the slate clean. Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, has done it. And through faith in him, we can stand before God boldly, because all that once separated us from him has been taken away by Jesus Christ. And the second point I want to draw from this is really quite salvationist in nature. And Simon, can you show me the first verse of the first song, of the next song, please? And you'll see the connection straight away. My life must be Christ's broken bread, my love his outpoured wine, a cup o'erfilled, a table spread beneath his name and sign, that other souls, refreshed and fed, may share his life through mine. We understand in the churches, you know, that bread and wine is the symbol of God's presence among his people. But the Salvation Army, in a practical kind of a way, and we can discuss this if you want, says that our lives must be Christ's broken bread. It's the way we live our lives that must be the symbol of God in the world around us. It's because of what God has done for us, the transformation that he is bringing about in our lives, that we then dedicate our lives to service to others. And I think that embodies the new covenant, doesn't it? It enfleshes the new covenant. Because we then, through our lives, can point to this God who loves us. This God who seeks to make that love known to others. That God who is no longer seeking to, who does not seek to punish us. But that God who bore it all, who took it all, who took the punishment rightly deserved by us on his Son, so that we could know him, that we could know his love. My life must be Christ's broken bread. Let's join together in singing these words right now. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the gift of Christ this morning. We thank you that you gave him so that we could be renewed in our relationship with you, that we could be cleansed of our sin. But Lord, this morning I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that the good work that you began in us, I pray that it would continue, Lord, that we would allow it to continue, Lord. That we would not stand in the way of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord. We want to enjoy the full benefit of that renewal, Lord, in the Holy Spirit, of that transformation, Lord. We want others to know, Lord, that we are fully and completely, wholly yours, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that our lives would reflect that, that we would be known as your people, Lord. Lord, clear all barriers. Remove all shame and embarrassment. And have your way with me, Lord. And have your way with each and every one of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our closing song this morning is Thine is the Kingdom, Lord. Salvation Army words to a well-known tune of Dia De Mata. And if you are able, I invite you to stand as we join together. Amen, amen, amen. We've got 25 minutes for a cup of tea. 25 minutes to wet our whistle for a cup of tea, cup of coffee. 12:05, Church on the Triangle. We continue our worship in public and we pray and hope that others will join us or hear something or whatever, but we continue our worship on the Triangle, 12:05. To him, a final doxology, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority. through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.